U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
From the opinion pages of the Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
The woman who accuses Brett Kavanaugh of a sexual assault as a teenager finally goes public and throws his Supreme Court nomination into doubt. What happens now, and will Brett Kavanaugh be confirmed? Welcome. I'm Paul Gigot with the Wall Street Journal, here to talk about the Kavanaugh story and all of its permutations and implications. With Bill McGurn. Hello, Bill.
Hi, Paul.
And Kim Strassel, as usual. Hey, Kim.
Hey.
So let's talk about the developments, which we were heading towards this. There's no question. We've talked about it. I figured this would eventually happen. The name, Christine Ford, a 51-year-old psychologist, now directly accuses Brett Kavanaugh of the sexual assault when she would have been 15. Brett Kavanaugh would have been 17 in their Washington, D.C., suburban Maryland high schools. The vote had been scheduled at the Senate Judiciary Committee for Thursday, Kim. Now the committee has decided that they're going to have the hearing on Monday, where both of them can testify. Of course, Kavanaugh denies categorically, unequivocally, as he put it, that it happened. Perhaps he says he told one senator it was a case of mistaken identity. The witness who was supposedly in the room, the other man, Mark Judge, the other boy at the time, now a man, he says it also never happened. Of course, there's no corroborating witnesses. There are Christine Ford says that she can't recall where it happened precisely, how she got to the home where it happened, how she got home that evening from the home where it happened, and didn't speak of it at all to anyone, not family, not friends, for 30 years until she disclosed the news in a couples therapy session with her husband in 2012. Is this going to kill the nomination, Kim?
Well, it's unclear, Paul. The reason, obviously, that the vote for Thursday has now been canceled and that we're having a hearing on Monday is because several Republican senators, among them Jeff Flake and Bob Corker, had said that they felt it was important to hear Ms. Ford's account before they made up their mind. Now, they have not in any way come out against Brett Kavanaugh. And Brett Kavanaugh says he is eager to, in fact, come and testify and show why this claim is or make his case for why this is not the case and deny that this ever happened. The problem at this point is that, at least by the latest accounts, Ms. Ford has not responded to any of the committee's emails or attempts at outreach to her and has not said that she'd want to come on. Now, this is strange as well because her attorney has been out this week doing media rounds, quite a lot of media, saying that she's eager to testify. But this has raised some questions in some people's minds about why she wouldn't be in touch. Is this an attempt? Is she working with Democrats to further delay the proceedings here, which is obviously one of Democrats' main goals?
And the FBI, I mean, exactly right. I assume, and I think it supported by my own reporting that Mitch McConnell and the Republican leadership felt they had to have this additional hearing to give some kind of comfort to Susan Collins, Bill, to Lisa Murkowski, to Corker and Flake and others before they could proceed to a vote.
Yeah, Paul, I think you just you focused on the real issue. Those four senators, Lisa Murkowski, Susan Collins, Bob Corker and Jeff Flake, they're the key. If they say they're satisfied, the woman's had her day and before the Senate and been able to say it. If they're satisfied, he'll get confirmed. The question is, the Democrats are not. We know now, doesn't matter what she says or what Brett Kavanaugh says. They're not going to be satisfied. They're going to want an FBI investigation. And what they want is not an FBI investigation that's conclusive, but one that will take long enough to extend beyond the election date. The problem with an FBI investigation, if you have no corroborating witnesses, as the woman says herself, she didn't tell anyone, and you have Mr. Kavanaugh just categorically denying it, I don't know what an investigation can come up with. Who else? No one else was there. They don't know anything. So,
the only one who was there also denies it, Mark
right.
Judge.
Well, and we don't even know if they were there. I mean, that's the thing. We don't know if the incident took place.
Right.
If it took place with another two people, we don't know any of that.
We can't prove any of it.
Right. So it's hard to see what an FBI investigation would accomplish, except what it would accomplish is delay, and that's what they want. Because I think if Brett is delayed, I think his nomination is going to be killed.
On the point of the FBI investigation, Kim, it's really a ploy. It's phony. I mean, the FBI has already said it's not going to investigate this as a criminal matter. It's not potentially a federal offense. Whether or not the statute of limitations has expired, it's not a federal offense. Also, when the FBI does its investigation of these things, it does it as a matter of interviews. In other words, it records what if Kim Strassel is nominated for something, they come to me and say, what do you think about Strassel? And I say, Strassel is the greatest person ever. And they put that in the file. Or if you make an accusation, they put that in the file. Then they'll go to the nominee and they'll say, what's your response? And then they'll put that in the file. It's a file that isn't filed with any court. It goes to the White House, which did the nominating. And then if it's a nomination for a Senate-confirmed position, they submit the file to the Senate. So it's not something that the FBI makes judgments on. It's not a criminal investigation. They don't say, well, I think she's 55% credible and he's 45%. They don't make any judgments at all, as they shouldn't. So this is a completely phony issue. This is right now in the hands of the Senate. They're going to have to assess her credibility, his credibility, or say and make a judgment about how they want to vote.
Correct. It's a background check. And that is worthwhile stressing because the Democrats are doing a very good job of muddying up that issue, saying, oh, the FBI should investigate. They don't investigate these nominees on matters of criminal questions. They are simply, as you're saying, going around putting things in the file, and not necessarily something that they act on. In addition to that, as they said in their statement last week, if this is indeed a credible allegation, it's something that would have always have been dealt with by local law enforcement, not the FBI, and that likely the statute of limitations has passed. So, you know, Democrats are pointing to this as a delaying tactic. But this gets to the bottom line, as you said, those key words, he said, she said. And it's why, at least myself, I understand, I guess, politically why they felt they had to do it to mollify these senators. But I really do wish that Grassley and McConnell had decided not to delay the vote and not to move to a hearing on Monday, because you're still going to be in the same place at the end of the day. He's going to give his account. She's going to give hers. The only difference is it's going to be on public view, and it's going to be just spectacle. And Democrats will have the opportunity to just lay into this nominee, use every card they have against him, suggest that he's sexist and everything else. And whereas Republicans are going to have to be very restrained in any questions they ask of the accuser, given the sensitivity of that. And it could be a very public moment very difficult moment. That is, if she even shows up.
Yeah, not surprisingly, I agree with Kim wholeheartedly. The only thing I would say is that would be different at the end of the hearing is if the Republicans, those four senators that we mentioned, say Dr. Ford has been given her chance to speak. We've heard from her and there's no proof of this. And then we proceed. If that's what it takes to get them to vote, I would say it's a risky accommodation, but worth it. But it all depends on whether that's what happens or whether they say, oh, I need to hear more, or I'm not quite sold yet.
We'll continue with this after the break. You're listening to Potomac Watch from The Wall Street Journal.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at AlibabaPowersBusinesses.com.
The Future of Everything podcast from The Wall Street Journal. Another new episode is coming soon. From the opinion pages of The Wall Street Journal, this is Potomac Watch.
Welcome back. I'm Paul Gigot with Kim Strassel and Bill McGurn. Bill and Kim, the question becomes if it becomes a question of credibility, then I think that's what the Democrats would like it to. They would like to say, "See, I believe her, okay." And if you don't believe her, then you dislike women, you don't trust women accusers. When I don't think the Republicans should fall for that. I don't disbelieve her. I don't believe her. I think she's probably sincere in her belief. She sounds like it. To everybody who's talked to her, I don't know. I haven't seen her. I suspect if she goes on in that public stage, she'll seem like she believes what she is saying. But there is no way to corroborate it. None. So it's not really even a he said, she said. It is a dimly recalled, a partially recalled accusation from 36 or 35 years ago. She can't even remember the year. That it's impossible to. I don't disbelieve her, but you can't corroborate it. And the question is, are you going to let this kind of an accusation, this long after the fact, kill a Supreme Court nomination?
It would be a very ugly precedent to allow that, a single act that also is contradistinction to the man's life, 30 other years without anything like this. Look, I wasn't in that room. I don't know if Brett was even in the room or Mark Judge. We don't know any of that. I think at some point evidence or the lack thereof has to be dispositive of this. I would also not underestimate Brett and maybe sympathy for Brett. He has three daughters. I mean, I work with him at the White House. He has a lovely wife and three daughters. This is a terrible thing. If he categorically denies this, and there's always going to be left something to put on this man. And if it didn't happen, he certainly does not deserve that. But I would not underestimate the capacity of people to feel sorry for this man with this very vague claim threatening his whole reputation and a seat on the Supreme Court.
Kim.
Yeah, I think the key word here is precedent, because if this were allowed to go forward, all kinds of bad things come of it, not just potentially the wrecking of a good man's life and his seat on the Supreme Court. This would weaponize sexual assault claims going forward, meaning that if this is all the more non-substance that you need to come out and completely destroy anybody in the corporate world, in public office, in the private sector, that's all you have to do. We are in a very scary place. And I think, you know, Democrats, they often don't stop and think about this, what it could mean for future. I mean, it'll be the standard as well for future nominations. How can anyone get confirmed if this is going to be the case? Anyone who, let's just, even if we believe this woman and or we believe that she believes this, but it would be very easy for someone that was simply a partisan actor to invent something of a vague time frame and a horrible accusation, and that would be then in future disqualifying for anybody, whoever put their hand up for anything, including Democratic nominees. And again, something I don't think Democrats think about.
And it becomes a political kill shot. No matter what the details are. The other point I would make is that when you look at this is being wrapped in Me Too, the Me Too movement, and that movement has exposed, women have exposed a lot of really bad actors. And the thing that's fascinating about most of those cases, though, is that it's a pattern. It's repeated. Sometimes many, many times, but at least 3, 4, 5 times. And there's no other episode like this anywhere in Brett Kavanaugh's personal history or career. That ought to stand for something.
That too, just to add, is that what also gave a lot of those allegations some real credibility, to the point where companies felt that they could act on them, for in the instance of Harvey Weinstein, was that the women related these episodes to other people contemporaneously. So no one could suggest, or people did not suggest later, that they were making this up or in any way or misremembering. They had friends, relatives, peers, and colleagues who they had told that this had happened to, and it gave some real strength to what they were saying.
Bill, yeah, go ahead, Bill.
I agree, and as I think our editorial pointed out, if Dianne Feinstein really thought this was a serious charge that needed to be investigated, why did she never raise it to Brett Kavanaugh herself? She had many opportunities. Why didn't it come up in the confidential meetings, and why didn't she have the FBI look at it months ago when they had the chance?
I think that is, in fact, an excellent question, and really ought to raise suspicions about the political motives at play here and the background that led into this. She also, let's talk about the politics going forward on this. If Brett Kavanaugh is confirmed, my view of this is that a lot of the Democrats think this is a win-win for them going into the election, Kim. On the one hand, if he's confirmed, they'll say, see, this shows you that Republicans don't care about women. They don't care about these accusations. By the way, they're led by a man, a president, who's been accused himself of sexual assault, and they'll try to use it in the election. On the other hand, if Kavanaugh is forced to withdraw because Republican defections, in my view, this is not a universal view, but in my view, this will have a really demoralizing effect on Republican voters and may help Democrats in the election for that purpose, because the voters might say, wait a minute. This is one of the most important things you do. It's one of the reasons I voted for Trump. It's one of the reasons I voted for a Republican Senate. And now, because of this late hit accusation with so many details uncorroborated, all details uncorroborated, you're going to deny this man a seat on the Supreme Court. I think it would have a very bad effect on Republicans in the election.
Well, I absolutely agree with you on the point that they see this a win-win in terms of if he's still confirmed, they will not only say, look, Republicans don't care about women, but the further goal of this will be to forever put an asterisk behind Brett Kavanaugh's name and suggest that any rulings in future that deal with any of their pet subjects, especially on women's issues, women's pay, etc., if he joins in a majority, they will crow about that and say, look, this is what happens when you put a man who was accused of sexual assault on the bench. I'll go even further with you than you do on the what happens.
You usually do, Kim. You usually do.
Yeah. No, I think it is a guarantee if that happens, the Republicans lose the Senate, they lose the House, and that Donald Trump puts himself in much greater jeopardy for reelection in 2020 because, you know, the Republicans I'm talking to, the base voters out there, what started out as an accusation that they viewed with incredulity. You know, remember people saying, I mean, really? High school? Pretty soon are we going to start talking about how he bullied a kid on the playground in grade school? And the thinness of the allegation, they can see in their minds absolutely no reason why Republicans would not proceed and confirm what is clearly one of the most talented candidates to be put forward to the Supreme Court in a very long time. And they will punish Republicans for what they view as a weak need, not standing up to the Democrats. And it won't matter to them that the votes, if that happened, of people voting no, were folks like a Jeff Flake or a Bob Corker, who are not up for reelection. They are retiring, so their own political future is not at stake. They will take it out on Republicans in general.
If Kavanaugh were forced to withdraw, Bill, the president would presumably nominate somebody with dispatch off his original list, but there would not be time for a confirmation or vote before the election.
I think added to that is people would say, look, we tried to rush the last time, so we need to take this slowly. The Democrats would be arguing for this. Like, if Brett Kavanaugh goes down, it's a disaster for Republicans. Remember, in the 2016 race, a lot of people held their nose and voted for Donald Trump because of the Supreme Court. It's something Republicans understand, voters. and care about the court nominees, and especially for the Supreme Court. And remember how depressing it was after the Obamacare repeal was thwarted because John McCain went south in the Senate. I think the Republicans defeat this because they're the only people who can defeat this. The Democrats can't defeat Brett Kavanaugh. Only the Republicans can. And if they do, I think there's going to be holy hell to pay.
If he the alternative view, which some people have argued to me, is that if you nominated another candidate, presumably from the list, somebody strong, an Amy Comey Barrett or somebody else, you would then litigate that through the election and you could get a Republican turnout, Kim, that was driven in part by the Supreme Court as well. Of course, the Democrats would say the Supreme Court is at stake too. So you'd have a big election fight over the Supreme Court. And would that drive Republican base vote up?
It's an interesting thought, except for I think the problem you have and the big flaw in that argument is that you are essentially going to Republicans and saying, look, the Supreme Court is at stake. You really need to come out and elect us. That was what they were told in 2016. And as Bill says, Republicans have all the votes they need right now to confirm Brett Kavanaugh. So Republicans or voters are going to say, well, fool me once, but what's the point of showing up for you when you can't even hold it together and again, confirm one of the better choices that's been out there in a long time. This is why we gave you power in the first place. Why would we do it again?
We really don't know, just to finish up here, we really don't know what's in the mind of these senators, Bill. We have no idea where they're going to go. Jeff Flake he's retiring. He really has a loathing for President Trump. We don't know what his motivations are ultimately, whether he wants to run as an independent against Donald Trump. Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski are often in their own private Idaho in terms mm-hmm. of their political calculations. So we don't know what's going to happen here.
We don't. Although I will say, as I think you pointed out earlier on, none of them have come out against Brett Kavanaugh. Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, because they're pro-Roe, would be thought to be the ones who might be inclined to leave. But they've actually been pretty moderate in their statements. And Susan Collins, the encouraging thing that I take is that on Sunday she told the Times that she didn't like the Democrats, this last-minute nature. It looks very dishonest. And she said that we have to have a system that's fair to both Brett Kavanaugh and Dr. Ford. And it's really up to her to enforce that.
All right.
Can I add one thing, too? That I think just goes again to the mindsets of these people that I think Republicans should view as encouraging. I will remind everyone that at least during the hearings, Jeff Flake was highly complimentary of Judge Kavanaugh on a wide variety of things, not just his legal thinking, but his life and his character. And I doubt that that's been destroyed overnight by one unsubstantiated accusation. The other thing that I thought was very notable is Bob Corker did say, yes, I think we should hear from this woman. But he said that if she's going to talk to us, she has an obligation to do it immediately. And that was a line out there, meaning, I want to give you an opportunity to speak, but we in the Senate have a schedule that we're sticking to here and a process. And if it looks as though she's playing games, she's not getting back to the senators and the committee, that could also change the calculation a little bit for some of these people.
All right, Kim, thank you very much. Thank you, Bill. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back tomorrow with another edition of Potomac Watch.
U.S. businesses thrive on Alibaba's online marketplace, where sales by American companies to Chinese consumers added $53 billion to the U.S. economy in 2022. Discover more at alibabapowersbusinesses.com.